Now, what all are the topics that we considered in the study on the church?
The word church.
Two aspects.
Autonomy. Formation. Ordinances. Administration. Duties.
Alright. Now we have come to the hope of the church, or the expectation of the church. We will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 to begin with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. There Apostle Paul is telling about the Thessalonian believers. He says, "For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Paul is telling about the salvation of these Thessalonian believers. When you come to chapter 17 of Acts, we see Paul visiting Thessalonica. He was there with them for about 3 weeks, ministered to them. And the Lord in his kindness turned a group of people from that place to himself. And while he is writing this, encouraging them in the Christian living, he is telling about the beginning. He says, "You turned to God from idols." They were after idols, idol worshippers. But when they heard the gospel, they turned to God. Alright? They turned to God from idols. Now what they are doing, they are serving the living and true God. They are serving the living and true God. Not only serving, but they are looking forward to something also. And what is that? They are waiting for His Son, or God's Son, or the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven. That is the expectation. That is the hope of the church. What is it? Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very big topic, isn't it? Volumes are written. But we don't have time to go into the details. As we saw in other matters also, we are looking only at the very important things. And this class, we don't have much time also. Alright, so we will have to limit it to very brief descriptions. Now, about this hope of the church, I want to tell you about four things. Alright, four things. Number one, the account of His coming. The account of His coming. The account of His coming. When I say account, that simply it means description. Alright? Now, I'm going to ask you to read few verses. And after reading both those verses, you should tell me what is the difference between that two. Alright? Now, turn with me to John 14, verse 3. Yeah, I will come again to receive you unto myself. To receive you unto myself. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13. There are other verses also. Before going to other verses, let me tell you what is the main difference between these two verses. There are a lot of differences, but the main difference. Yeah. Yeah. Paul says that. Yeah, okay, fine, that's one difference. As I said, there are many differences, alright. There is one difference which is very, very important. Give me another difference. Keep telling. Sorry? Something more to be added to that? That is what I was trying to come to. In the first one, that is John 14:3, is that I will come and do what?
Receive you.
Alright? He is coming for the saints. You understood that? He is coming for the saints. To receive you. To take you to myself. He is going to come and take us with him. He is coming for the saints. But in the second verse we read, it is not for the saints, but with all his saints. He is not coming to receive, but he is coming with the saints. Did you get the meaning? Do you understand the difference? Okay, you see this difference in certain other portions also. Come to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Louder. Second Thessalonians 2:1.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by your gathering together unto
him. Our gathering together unto him. For the saints or with the saints? This coming is for the saints or with the saints? For the saints. For the saints. Our gathering together unto him. For the saints. Now, turn to another portion, Jude 14. Jude 14. I don't have to tell the chapter, right? You know it. Okay. Jude 14. Yeah, tell me, with the saints or for the saints? With the saints. With the saints. Another verse. Come to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14 verses 4 and 5. Zechariah 14 verses 4 and 5. Fast.
On that day, this gift will stand in the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
East of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the Mount of Olives will be split into two. Yeah. From east to west.
Yeah. Yeah, with the saints or for the saints? With the saints, with the saints. And all the holy ones with him, isn't it? So there we see, with the saints. Now, another one more verse. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Yeah, tell me now, with the saints or for the saints? For the saints, right? For the saints. In Acts 1:11 also, I think we see this same truth. Acts 1:11.
Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you to heaven will come back in the same way they have seen him go into heaven.
Okay, you don't have that verse exactly put. Okay, we will see that later. So in these verses that we read, there are certain verses which says that he is coming for the saints. And at the same time, there are certain verses which says that he is coming with the saints. For the saints and with the saints are not one and the same. Am I right? Is that no? For the saints, coming for the saints and coming with the saints are not one and the same. They are two different things. Understood or not? Yeah. What I'm trying to say is this. The Lord is going to come again. Alright? The Lord is going to come again. In that second coming, which we call as second coming, there are two steps or two stages or two phases. One is he comes for the saints, and the second one is he comes with the saints. The coming for the saints is what we call as rapture. Alright? Coming for the saints is what we call as rapture. Rapture, that word we had seen in the beginning, remember that? It means to snatch away, to catch up, to take away. Alright? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again to take His church with Him. Can happen any time. And how He is going to take it, that's what we saw there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The trump of God, the shout, you know, all those things shall happen then. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are living at that time of coming, they shall be transformed. Who shall be caught up first? The dead? The dead? Read that verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then after that, we who are still alive, and are left shall be caught up together. Together with whom? Together with the risen, isn't it? Those who are dead shall rise up first. The verse doesn't say that the dead shall be caught up first. Alright? They shall rise first. And we who are living, we shall be transformed. Together. Notice that word together there? Together with them, we shall be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You all believe this? You all believe this? Or is it like, all these are written, who knows whether it's going to happen or not? Is it like that? No, it is the word of God that has given us this assurance. It's going to happen one day. All those who are born again, they're going to be with the Lord one day. Lord is going to come again. So that is the first phase. To take us away for the saints. Got it? Got that? For the saints. Now after the church is being caught up, there will be a time of about 7 years, which we often call as the tribulation period. It shall be a time of big trouble in this earth. Church is being removed and God's wrath shall fall upon the earth. There are a lot of things. If you want the details of it, you just go and read in the book of Revelation. Many chapters are given there describing the problems that shall happen in that day. We're not going into all that. That will be for that 7 years. And after that 7 years, the second stage of the coming of Jesus Christ. What was the second one I said? With the saints. With the saints. Alright? Those whom He took away at that first phase, He is going to come again to this earth with them. That is with the saints. So don't forget these two stages. Alright? For the saints and with the saints. If you have these two phrases in your mind, for the saints and with the saints, you will not go wrong in your study on these topics. Now we are not going into the details of that again. Alright? Now coming to the second one. Aim of His coming. Or why is He coming? Why the Lord is coming? The aim of His coming. What is the first point? The account of His coming. Now the second one, the aim of His coming. There are 3 points there. Number one, to receive. Number two, to reward. Number three, to rule. Simple, right? Yeah. To receive, to reward, and to rule. This is the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus. To receive. Receive what? To receive the saints. To receive the saints. He is coming to receive his own. You can write these references there. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. First John 3, 2. Revelation 22 and verse 3. You can take all these references later on and read that and understand. Alright? So there we see that we shall be received unto him. And how is all these things going to happen? The dead being raised, isn't it? And we being transformed, isn't it? How is it all going to happen? Unbelievable, isn't it? When you come to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says how it's going to happen. He says that by his power shall do it. Want to read that verse? Philippians 3 and 20. There Apostle Paul says like this, 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned into like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able. Alright? He is able. According to his power, he will do it. We don't have to worry as to how it's all going to happen. He will do it. That's about receiving. Alright. We shall be with the Lord. Have you seen the magnet attracting the small pieces of iron pieces? How is it? You hold it like this, it's all caught up, isn't it? A day is going to come and we all shall be caught up like that. How much time is going to take for that? Yeah, twinkling of an eye. How much time is it? I don't know. Some say it's a nanosecond. Not even a second. It's going to happen. The Lord is going to do it. Don't have time to go into the details of it. The second thing I said was reward. Isn't it? Reward. Earlier also we had seen, well, when we meet with the Lord and when we are with the Lord is going to evaluate all the works that we have done with our life. And he is going to reward us accordingly. More faithfulness, more reward. This is also a topic you can go on speaking, but I'm not going to do that. You can write some references there. Revelation 22:12. There the Lord says that he's coming with the reward. Revelation 22:12. Then 1 Corinthians 3:13. There Apostle Paul says that we should see how we live now. Isn't it? Evaluate, examine our lives now itself. Then the next word is rule. Rule. Alright. After he takes his saints to be with him, he's going to come back with those saints to this earth and he is going to rule over this earth for how many years? 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years or that kingdom shall merge into eternity. That's why it's called as the eternal kingdom. Our Lord is going to rule. And what about the church? The church shall rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all going to rule over this world. Isn't that wonderful? There are many verses. We won't go into the details of it. Now, coming to the next point. This is the third one, right? Account, aim, and now the assurance of his coming. How do we know these are going to happen? What is that? Yeah, it's written in the Bible, yeah. But I will give you some points there. You can write it down. The assurance or various assurances. Number one, divine assurance. Divine assurance. That means God himself has given us the assurance in the written word. Alright? John 14, 2, 3. John 14, 2, 3. Then Revelation 22. There's a last chapter in the Bible. Alright? Last chapter in the Bible. In that one chapter, three times the Lord says, I come quickly. Verse 7, verse 12, verse 20. You can write it down. Revelation 22, verses 7, 12, and 20. Number 2, angelic assurance. Angelic assurance. Angelic, that means angels have given us the assurance. Acts 1:11. You remember we read it in between, Acts 1:11. That two angels, or it's told that two men, those are angels. When you read that, we understand that. That two men told the disciples, he will come just like this, in the same manner. Remember that? So two angels. When the Lord came first, how many angels were involved to tell that? Only one. Yes, singing and all, that's at the birth, about the coming. One, Gabriel, isn't it? He came and spoke to Joseph. He came and spoke to Mary and all, isn't it? So one angel. About the second coming, two angels. That means it's definitely going to happen. If that which is told by one angel happened, then that which is told by two angels should doubly happen. You all agree with me? So that is the angelic assurance. Number three, the apostolic assurance. The apostolic assurance. Those again are about the word of God. Apostles themselves have written it and told us. Philippians 3:20, Hebrews 30, sorry, Hebrews 10 and 37, Revelation 1:7. There are various other verses. We won't go into all that. Those are all written by the apostles. So we have the apostolic assurance, or the apostles have written and given to us. And number four, isn't? Am I right? Yeah. Number four, symbolic assurance. Symbolic assurance. Right? Symbolic assurance. You can write this reference, 1 Corinthians 11:26. In the morning we studied about the Lord's Supper. Remember that? There the instruction was we should keep it till I come. Remember that? Till I come. So each week when we partake from it, it reminds us that he has not come yet, but he is going to come. And that Lord's Supper is a symbol, isn't it? That's why we call it as a symbolic assurance. These are the four assurances we have. It's definitely going to happen. The Lord is going to come. So divine assurance, angelic assurance, then what was it? Apostolic assurance, then symbolic assurance. These are the assurances of his coming. Now come to the next one, the application of his coming. The application of his coming. What is the meaning of that, the application of the coming? Does it mean that for him to come, we have to send an application to heaven? Fill up the application and send it by email to heaven so that he can come, is it? No. Application means the practical application. He is coming, so what I should do? Alright? He is coming practically. How I should be? There are many things we can say about that also, but I will put it in very simple words. Number one, purify. means keep yourself holy. First John 3:3. That means you have to keep yourself holy. Alright? That is purify. Number two, wait for Him. Wait for Him. Wait. About the Thessalonians, we saw that they were waiting for the Son of God to come from heaven. You can write the same reference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. We can add with that one more reference, that is Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. Number 3, labor for Him. Labor for Him. You can write this reference, 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells about our hope, isn't it? Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. After telling you all that, what Apostle Paul says is, therefore what you should do? Abound in the work of the Lord. Abound in the work. Lord has given you some works. Well, we are seeing that spiritual gifts, we have seen that, isn't it? Every member in the body has got a function to fulfill. All of you who are born again, God has given to you some duties. We have seen the duties in the last class, right? So, think about them. Do it. Labor to fulfill that. One more. Love His appearing. Love His appearing. Love His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. What does it mean to love His appearing? Which is greater, to love the Lord or to love His appearing? To love the Lord? What is it? And His appearing. Both you mean. Okay. Alright. Normally I tell a story to explain that. Our time is over, but still I'll tell that story and conclude. Alright? It's about a boy. He liked cakes very much. You all like cake? Yeah? No? Yes, you all love cakes. Okay. This boy also loved cake very much. And his mother made cake in the house. Alright? And some guests were expected in the evening at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or something. So in the morning the cake was kept and mother called the child and said, now don't touch that cake. You can eat it all after the guest goes. Sometimes mothers say like that, isn't it? Yeah? So this boy said, okay, that's fine. No problem. And he was waiting for the guests to come and for them to leave, you know. So after the lunch, mother went out. Before that, she made sure that the cake is being kept on the top of that shelf, you see. She knows that if it is kept down, what will happen? What will happen? Yeah? Yeah, he will eat. So, kept it on the top of the shelf and went out to the neighbor and she started talk with her neighbor. How much time it takes? 1 hour. Yeah. You said it, isn't it? 1 hour's talk, it just began. The child went and saw what topic they are preaching and he knew that it's not going to finish it in 1 hour. It's going to take more time. Then, and he said, this is the time to act. And he came back to the kitchen, put a chair there and got upon that and he saw that vessel which was kept there and he just opened it, smelt it very nice, came down, went to that other house neighborhood and saw what point they are doing now. You know, it was still a very long way to go, you know. So he came back and he opened that lid a little more and he thought, I won't take from the top, you know, the top, the icing and the cream and all that. Touching that is not good, isn't it? After you spoil, that is not good to give to the guest, isn't it? So he thought, I will take from the, what? The bottom part. And he took a little, came down, went to the other room, tasted it, he loved it very much. Went out and saw how much the sermon got over, which is still on, you know. And he understood that it's not going to get concluding. You know, now he came back again, did the same thing. And at last all the bottom part was over. Only the cream was left. Now what to do? You can give the cream alone to the guest? No, you cannot. Now the sermon was still going on in the neighborhood. He thought, you know, I will do something and he ate the cream also. And that vessel was empty, you know. Nothing was there. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does that boy love his mother? Only few, yes?
Yes.
Yes. He loves his mother. He loves his mother, right? Now, the second question. Does that boy love the coming of his mother? No. Even if she doesn't come now, it's okay, isn't it? I will treat the guest. After the guest goes, only mother should come. Now tell me, which is greater? Loving the Lord or loving his appearing? Tell me. Oh, even with the story you didn't understand. Loving the Lord or loving his appearing, which is greater? We all love the Lord, isn't it? No one will say, I don't love the Lord. Alright? Everybody loves the Lord. But to love his appearing, there should not be the smell of that cake and all that on our hands. Did you understand what I meant? Did you understand what I meant? You have to live a holy life. You have to keep yourself holy, prepared. The duties that he has given you, you have to fulfill. If only you keep yourself like that, you will be able to love his appearing. What I'm trying to say is, loving his appearing is more than loving the Lord. We were looking at the hope of the church. Yes, the Lord is going to come again. Him that's going to come. He shall come without delay. So may the Lord help that these truths that we considered this 8 classes, isn't it? These 8 classes may encourage us to live a very responsible church life, assembly life. Through this we have been seeing its importance, various functions of it, our place in it, and people who are looking after it, and our attitude to them. Alright? All this we have seen. And may the Lord give us grace that we may, you know, put these things into practice in some measure or the other in the coming days. And let's wait for the Lord to receive us unto himself, loving his appearing. Shall we pray now? Yeah. Bow down our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, we bless thy holy name. Father, we thank you for giving us these moments to be together in your presence, to study your word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that thou dost give us this year also to come for ABC 14s. Thank you, Father, for the burden, the wisdom, the grace thou hast given to the believers there in Borivali Assembly to conduct this year also. And thank you, Father, for all the students that have come from various places in Maharashtra. Thank you, Father, for the desire thou hast given them for the word. Bless their young lives, Father. Pray to thee, Father, that these truths that they are taking in, Lord, in this ABC 14s, may help them to grow for thee in the coming days and live for your glory alone. Commit them to thee. If there is anyone who have not known thee, turn their lives to thee, we pray, Father. Attract them unto thee, O Father, we pray. And those who have received thee as their Lord and Savior and who is not baptized, obey your command. Put the burden in them that they may do that, O Father. We pray to the Father, all of us may be able to live for your glory in the coming days. Pray for other teachers also involved. Bless them all. Some of them are traveling these days. Help them, we pray. Thank you, Lord, once again for this good time thou hast given. Glorify your name, for we ask this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.